The Trial by Robert Whitlow. This audio version is published by Oasis Audio through an agreement with Thomas Nelson Publishing. The Trial is read by Rob Lamont.
Kent Mac McLean checked the time on the grandfather clock that faced him, impassively from the far corner of his walnut-paneled law office. It was almost 5 p.m. He heard the front door close and slowly poured a beer into the cold mug sitting on the corner of his desk. Except for Friday afternoons, he never drank at the office. Friday afternoons were different. On Fridays, he didn't drink to mask the malaise he carefully concealed from the eyes of the world. Rather, he renewed a ritual from a happier time, a 35-year-old tradition begun on crisp autumn Fridays during college days in Athens, Georgia. Today was no celebration. His heart beating a little faster than normal, he opened the bottom left drawer of his desk and took out the Colt 45 pistol issued to his father during World War II. Mac snapped out the clip. One by one, he extracted the bullets and lined them up like polished sentries on the edge of the dark wood. Bullets were small objects that could have devastating and deadly effect, especially when fired directly into the human skull at close range. Opening the narrow middle drawer of the desk, he took out a bottle of prescription pain pills. In some ways, pills and bullets were remarkably similar. Of course, the pills were intended to relieve pain. Bullets were designed to inflict it. But for Mac's purposes, bullets or pills would serve the same purpose, to end his suffering once and for all. Mac had not been able to decide which would be the best method of death, bullet or pill. Each had its advantages. The phone on his desk buzzed, and startled, he set down the pill bottle, knocking over some of the bullets. "Who is it?" he barked into the receiver. "Judge Danielson on line one," his secretary answered. Mac punched the phone button. "Hello, Judge. Glad I caught you before you started your weekend. Do you still have a cold one every Friday?" "I'm looking at it as we speak." Mac held the phone to his ear with his shoulder, snapped the clip back into the gun, and returned it to its place in the desk drawer. "Come over to the courthouse," the judge said. "I need to talk to you." "What is it?" he asked. "I'm off duty." "Just come. I'll explain when you get here." Mac sighed. "Give me 5 minutes." "Thanks. See you then." He knew he didn't have to go to the courthouse. He could continue the secret trial interrupted by the judge's call. But the spell was broken. The jury, deciding his fate, would have to continue its deliberations at a later date. Judge Danielson's chambers were to the right of the bench where he presided. Mac walked into the office suite and knocked on the wooden frame of the open door. "Come in, have a seat, Mac." The judge motioned toward a pair of wooden armchairs across from his light-colored oak desk. "I need your help." Mac sat and waited. Holding up a single sheet of paper, the judge said, "I'll get to the point. This is an order appointing you to represent Peter Thomason." Mac's jaw dropped. "What? I haven't tried a major criminal case in years. I have good reason—" "Gene Nielsen is a public defender," Mac interrupted. "He handles these types of cases." "Take it easy." Judge lifted his hand. "Gene called me an hour ago. He has a conflict. The pathologist from Atlanta who tested the defendant's blood for drugs is Gene's new brother-in-law. Man is certain to testify as an expert witness, and he'll have to be cross-examined by Thomason's lawyer. And if there is a conviction, I can't risk habeas corpus from a smarty-pants lawyer down the road based on ineffective assistance of counsel." "But why me?" Mac asked, slumping back in his chair. "Because it involves the Hightower family," the judge said slowly. "Who else could do it?" Mac didn't answer. Peter Thomason was charged with murder. It wasn't a sordid domestic killing or the result of a botched drug deal. The victim was 19-year-old Angela Hightower, the only child of Alexander and Sarah Hightower, the most influential family in Denison Springs. Hightower money was the backbone of several major business ventures in the area, and no local lawyer in his right mind did anything to antagonize them. No lawyer, that is, except Mac. "I see," Mac said. "You don't know a young lawyer who would take the case without caring about the consequences." "Do you?" the judge responded. Mac mentally ran down the list of possibilities and shook his head. "None with any criminal defense experience."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?